We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Yep, just like must-see TV, we come and we go when we please, but we are back once again after a 24-hour hiatus. Paul Ihander here. Across from me is my sister from another mister, Lindsey Brown.
Hellest of lows.
My Twitter account works today. Lindsey, does yours?
It does, indeed.
It's amazing. I can Facebook and Instagram, too.
Look at us. We're just a fully-fledged portfolio of social media, and I think I spent 11 or 12 hours screen time, tells me, on my phone yesterday, so... God. We had to do a little bit of a Disney Animal Kingdom detox to get to sleep last night.
Candy crushing or something with 12 hours of screen time.
No, I was just like, we need to get some of this. We just needed some positive vibes after yesterday, obviously, what happened at the Capitol. And, you know, I wasn't comfortable doing a show yesterday. And I'm really appreciative of you listening to me and us kind of making that decision together. And because yesterday was a historical day, unfortunately. And so I didn't really think sports had a place, at least with us involved.
History doesn't stop. The world doesn't stop. Many mess basketball teams last night took knees, locked arms, used expletives to describe what happened yesterday at the Capitol. And it's continued into today. But again, my Twitter works today.
Yes.
I did not go rock climbing at the Washington, D.C. Capitol.
No, we had better things to do, Paul. We had better things to do with our time.
Kind of odd.
It was odd.
Unfortunately, because of how late the hour was last night, and it had to end up eating leftovers, which in my house just kind of ends up being whatever the kids didn't end up eating.
Ooh. So what was on your menu last night then?
I had a half a hamburger with one bite taken out of it.
Wow. Yeah. At least it was like personalized.
It was. And then we had because, you know, it was Taco Tuesday.
Sure.
So we had some leftover salsa from Juan's in the fridge. And so I had chips and salsa at like 10 o'clock last night.
Just kind of grazing. That's where my eating habits are right now, too. The meal's not really a thing. It takes too much time and energy. But I'm like, I'll eat a handful of carrots. We'll have half a tiramisu. We're getting all of the nutritional necessary nutrients, I guess.
Right, all the vitamins and minerals.
Correct.
As Hulk Hogan says, take your vitamins, say your prayers.
I did all of that, plus sure. Disney's Animal Kingdom. That's sure how did. I went to bed.
Well, there you go. Back in the sports saddle today, and let's get you the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
So you would think, not doing something for 33 days, the expectations would be fairly low.
Right. You're out of practice, right? You haven't stretched properly in a while.
Well, it's been 33 days since the UNLV men's basketball team actually played a game. They are going to play tonight at Colorado State as the Mountain West Conference gets some of its conference schedule underway. But for the Running Rebels, since they haven't played since December the 5th, tonight could be a total crapshoot.
Well, and it wasn't like it was going super well beforehand either, even though they were, you know, walking into Coach O's second season with some expectations, right?
Yeah, it's like a full reintroduction to this team.
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen them. They played for like 2 weeks, pretty much.
It's a completely new year.
They went to Maui.
Yeah, that's right. They did go to Maui. They got invited.
Yeah.
And then Maui went home.
Right. Yeah, they went to North Carolina, Maui.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So they're back on the hardwood tonight, playing Colorado State in the two-game sets that the Mountain West has set up this year. So they're back on track. And we do have college hoops for you here tonight. Speaking of Mountain West action, Nevada taking on San Diego State. That's a 6:30 pregame and a 7 o'clock tip.
To new beginnings.
It is new beginnings. Woo! As we get everything rolling in 2021, UNLV back on the hardwood.
Number two.
All right, the Hot Stove League is what it's known as, and we have entered that kind of silly season, so to speak. NASCAR has one, too. It's the off season is what it is. And for baseball, they have the same thing, and there is a blockbuster deal done today, perhaps making the New York Mets slightly relevant. Francisco Lindor, four-time All-Star shortstop, was traded, along with Carlos Carrasco, to the Mets, to the new ownership there, and basically a couple of, actually four players were dealt. Not that it really matters.
But, like, Lindor is a big deal. Like, this deal is huge. And, you know, a lot of the noise in the offseason has surrounded the San Diego Padres. And they added a couple a name out to their roster today as well. But, you know, the Cleveland was in the World Series a few years ago, has been in that race for the AL Central kind of every year. And the Mets really only had pitching the last couple seasons and nothing else. So maybe they are legit.
Yeah, well, they did lose Robinson Cano.
Oh, that's right. You know, he's out for the entire season because he was putting things in his body he should not have been.
He was. But since there's a brand new owner there who's got fairly deep pockets and wants the Mets to be competitive, they've done quite a bit of movement here in the offseason. And this being the latest thing, yes, a monster deal. Maybe they can get Lindor signed to a longer-term contract. He's only under contract for one more season.
Oh, so this is a really big gamble then.
It is. It's a huge gamble for the Mets, but they want to make sure that they are making the right waves and not being overshadowed by the Yankees, who happen to also play in the New York metropolitan area.
But they're in the AL. NL, though, as you just said, like the Padres are in it. The Dodgies are in it.
Yeah.
Where does this put them in orbit?
For the Mets, well, it gives them a piece of the offense that they so desperately needed. They have plenty of pitching.
Bartolo Colon isn't enough?
No, but they've got Syndergaard and Stroman. They kept him. He wanted to stay. Trevor May staying, too. So if they've got money to spend, that's the thing. And if they want to make sure that they are relevant, they will sign Lindor to a long-term deal and then figure out if this is worth the investment. But again, you've got a brand new ownership group in place, and mm-hmm. Sandy Alderson's leading the front office, so we'll see if the Mets become relevant. I mean, I don't know.
A lot of baseball teams that are not spending money at all right now, so if you're looking to take a step into relevancy, this is kind of the time to do it, given the climate that we're in.
If you can find yourself just a little bit more change in the bottom of the pockets, that might help.
Exactly.
So the Mets and the Indians doing it. I'm sorry, Cleveland doing a deal.
Number three.
All right, there was a Pro Football Talk had put out a report early this morning.
The hottest of reports.
It was. This was flaming hot.
Yes.
Mike Florio basically posted a story this morning saying that Deshaun Watson had talked to different people and had explored himself. This is kind of like, should I buy the house up the hill?
Correct.
Or should I just rent for another year? Or what should I do? Basically, Watson was saying, should I ask for a trade?
Quietly broach the topic with teammates. And, you know, we've talked over the last few weeks, few months, since we've been on the air, like how bad of a position that the Texans are in to not only compete now, but in the future, because all their resources have been hemorrhaged. And maybe J.J. Watt with a butt pat and sorry we sucked this year during your prime isn't enough for him to want to stick around.
Yeah, 12 losses this season, no high draft choices,
mm-mm.
Very little talent in the well, and some bloated salaries to move around. And apparently there's another report out there that the Texans will not even be interviewing Eric Bieniemy for the coaching job.
Well, you know what? They really took a step in a departure in a different way by hiring, you know, the new GM that's from the Belichick coaching tree or working tree or whatever
Nick
tree,
Casario,
right?
Yes.
And wasn't Bill O'Brien all? Oh, that's right. Damn it! Nothing changed.
Yeah,
they're not going to talk to Eric Bieniemy. That's a joke.
So the Houston Chronicle, though, shooting that one down. John McClain writing just this afternoon, forget about it. There's no way the Texans will trade Watson.
Everyone has a price, Paul.
It's very true. But I would assume that if you're going to bring in a coach to Houston, that you don't want a complete rip down, that you still want to have some land to build on. And that land would be Deshaun Watson.
But what if Deshaun doesn't want to be a part of it? What if he sits out for a little bit? That's within his right to do.
He could, I guess.
He could.
But as J.J. Watt just patted him on the butt, said, sorry we wasted a year of your career.
I'm not saying it's the right thing for him to do if that's what he wants to do. But, you know, I would be a little bit nervous about my future, too, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's where we're at. But report this morning that Deshaun Watson wanted to be traded or at least may have shopped it around. Could be true, but the Houston Chronicle's John McClain, who is very well plugged in, says that is not going to happen.
Number four.
As we kicked off the show today, just a reminder, my Twitter is still active.
As is mine.
Lindsay's Twitter.
And Mark's.
Is still active.
Yours is good, too.
There is one account that is not active at this point. Assistant football coach Chris Malone of the University of Tennessee Chattanooga deleted his account after referring to Stacey Abrams, the lawmaker in Georgia, as Fat Albert.
Former coach, right? Former.
Yes. He was the offensive line coach, or offensive line coach, I guess.
There you go.
Either way.
That is the right pronunciation right there.
He deleted the account after parents and students and alum caught wind of it and basically called them out, and it kind of started rolling that ball down the hill earlier this morning with the head coach and then the director of athletics. And now,
really glad we took a stance on the racist tweet,
of course,
right?
Of all things,
this accountability.
This is the hill you're going to die on, right?
Right.
The tweet.
No one sees this. No one's looking for things like this. It's not like it's a tough time in our world. Like who puts this out there?
The former offensive line.
That's right.
Assistant coach at the University of Tennessee Chattanooga.
I don't think he has very many job prospects in his future, Paul. And you know what? I don't feel bad. I don't.
By the way, do you know what the nickname of the Chattanooga team is?
No.
They're the Mucks.
That is quite dicey.
The Mucks.
What is that? How do you spell it?
M-O-C-S.
What is it?
Short for moccasin.
Got you.
Yes, but they just go by Mucks.
Got you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They could go with an X, I guess, but...
Offensive line coach. Former offensive line coach.
You know what the name of their marching band is?
No, what is it?
The Marching Mocks.
Interesting.
You know what the name of the mascot is?
No, what is it?
Scrappy.
Scrappy Mock?
It's a bird.
It's a bird.
Yes. It's the north. They're named after, it's the northern mockingbird.
I need to question a few other things there as well. Who knows?
Do you know the known former performers?
No.
Who have played Scrappy?
I do not. Please let me know.
Mitch Reburn.
Okay.
Tyler Hickerson.
That's a person.
And Zach Langley.
Not Zach.
Yes.
Not Zach L.
Scrappy the Mock was named College Mascot of the Year in 2016.
Well, congratulations.
Right.
Another claim to fame for that program.
So, again, there's one guy who won't be wearing that mascot uniform.
Thank goodness.
Chris Malone.
See you later, Chris.
Yeah. Good night now.
See you later.
Number five.
Okay. This one, it's kind of fun, and it's kind of sad at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Bittersweet.
It is a little bit. The Vancouver Canucks, members of the NHL's Scotia
Yes. Yes. North?
The Canadian division.
Mm-hmm.
Were trade partners with your Vegas Golden Knights in the offseason.
That's right.
Into which one Mr. Nate Schmidt was sent north. Lindsay likes to call him the Golden Retriever.
Yes. No longer the Golden Knights.
Yes, he was adopted by a new team.
Exactly.
Yes,
and
he is.
He's fitting in quite well.
He is so much that the social media gurus, the Vancouver Canucks, have basically just mic'd him up constantly. And Schmidt had this gem talking about practice.
Is it optional tomorrow morning?
Please ask him that.
It's tomorrow optional?
Would
he snap, you think? Greener, is that an option in the morning?
I want to go full sport.
Okay, just want to make sure some guys were asking.
Some guys were asking.
Yeah.
Some guys were asking if tomorrow's practice was optional.
We've talked at length about how much that team and that locker room and this community is going to miss Nate Schmidt and the impact that he's had. And you can't replace energy and humor It's just, you can't. And for him to, you know, go up to Travis Green, who's a pretty serious guy, if you didn't see the mean mugs during the playoffs last year.
He calls him Greeny.
Greeny. You know, and there's just so many good one-liners. There's like a five-minute video on Twitter that's circulating around right now, and it's just, it's Nate being Nate. And when you're allowed to do that, and that energy is brought every day, everybody just enjoys going to work each and every morning, just a little bit more. And that can be the difference between second-round playoffs and third round, or maybe even we're making a run for the cup. Now, I'm not saying the talent is quite there yet, but that is a team that needed a lot of like bringing back togetherness, because, you know, the Canucks lost a ton of guys in the offseason too. Yeah. And so I miss Nate. I wish him nothing but the best of luck in a great jersey up in Vancouver.
Out there chirping on the ice. Mm-hmm. It actually says here, number five check down. Missing Nate Schmidt yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say yes.
Yes.
All right, there's your check down powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download your BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Coming up next, who in the NFL playoffs has the tools to make a deep run? We will discuss.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul Iander with you, Lindsey Brown with you as well.
Hi.
It is sneaking up on a wild card weekend. We haven't talked too much heavy NFL action, but we are getting to that point here to where the playoffs get underway in less than 48 hours. And as we roll into January, not only do we get to look forward to that sexy Nickelodeon game between Chicago and New Orleans this weekend.
The only way the Chicago game's really watchable.
Right.
At least in my opinion.
It could be a strange game, too, in that presentation. We'll talk about that, mm-hmm. too. But there we have an expanded wild card this year because we have seven teams instead of six. So the teams that have the byes, of course, the Green Bay Packers on the NFC side. And on the AFC side, not unexpectedly, the Kansas City Chiefs, which many people have picked to make the full deep run once again, because it seems like Pat Mahomes is just gosh darn unstoppable.
Yeah. Well, and he's just, it's a talented roster up and down. It's not just him. It's everywhere else as well. So even if he doesn't play his best game, they still find ways to win.
And they look healthy, too. And that's some of the question marks that some of these teams playing this weekend have to deal with. We know the issues with Buffalo at receiver right now, where Diggs and Beasley are both kind of banged up.
Yeah, that's incredibly problematic. And then you have what's going on in Cleveland, which is, you know, not injury related, but COVID related, and, you know, goes into their coaching staff as well. So a lot of adversity faced by them and their first playoff game since 2002.
It's strange how that works with the AFC kind of, you know, kind of dealing with a lot of bumps and bruises, and the NFC side where you've got, you know, some of the most, you know, I say veteran quarterbacks in a Breeze and a Brady,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Alex Smith.
Russell's how many playoff runs has he been on?
Right. These guys are always there, but, you know, they're staying healthy and on the up and up. So I look at these teams and I think to myself, first of all, thank God I was right about something this year. So in 2020, I was asked to pick like teams that would make their way into the playoffs.
Okay.
I was only off by two, I think. I did not have Washington winning that division.
Fair.
I honestly picked Philadelphia. In that division,
that most people did too. I don't think any of us predicted the ineptitude that was the NFC East, though.
Right, and then I did have the Raiders making the postseason as the seven.
Well, you predicted 10 wins for them.
I did predict 10 wins, and 10 wins was the cutoff.
Yeah, so we weren't close.
Right. My Super Bowl teams are still in this, so we'll leave them at that. Unfortunately, one of my teams is the Baltimore Ravens, and they had a really weird year.
Really weird.
And then the issue with the Ravens right now making a deep run, and I'm struggling with this one a little bit, you know, because, you know, for as good as Lamar Jackson can will them to a win, and they're playing the Titans, which is a little weird.
They're an enigma.
Right, but they're in Tennessee. That the matchup coming up after that for both of these teams is Kansas City.
Yeah.
So regardless, you have to roll through Kansas City based on the seeds.
Well, exactly. So, as it should be, because they're the best team.
Right. So, I mean, the matchup, again, Lamar and, you know, the tantalizing matchup that would come mm-hmm. into play between Lamar and Pat Mahomes, I'm not sure is going to happen. But if they ran into each other, I think that kind of ends any run I think Baltimore could make.
Well, right.
Getting, you know, getting past Tennessee, first of all, and then having to go through Kansas City.
Do you think Tennessee's defense can step up and kind of quell the Ravens? Because, as you said, Paul, it hasn't been a consistent year, but they got in the playoffs. They're 11-5. Like, that's a very respectable record. And Lamar's played better as of late. I mean, we all know what Derrick Henry is capable of.
Correct.
And so is it field possession time? Is it legit? How much time does your offense have with the ball? That's how they beat the Pats, right?
It's how the Titans are going to have to beat the Ravens is to keep Jackson off the field because Tennessee's like pass rush is practically non-existent.
Okay, so that's like, incredibly problematic.
They struggle.
But it's not like Lamar can pick guys, you know, downfield. Well, that's not his forte.
Right, and that's the thing. So if you can control him, keep him off the field, and you have Henry as your running game.
Yeah, their defense would just be blitzing constantly, basically.
He's going to have to. I mean, he could carry the ball 35 times, but if they're not going to load up the box against the Titans, Tannehill will be able to kind of pick them apart a
little
bit.
Tannehill is good enough to be able to if Henry can't have like a monumental performance, if he's going like 75 yards, Tannehill is more than talented.
Which makes me struggle with the AFC side of things, knowing that you're going to have to go through Kansas City, and I think Kansas City is going to be favored. They've got the bye, and then they would take on one of these teams, and then they would have to slide into a matchup dealing either with Cleveland or Pittsburgh, and we know the COVID. You just mentioned the COVID issues that Cleveland's been having.
But the Steelers, they were undefeated for 11 weeks.
Right.
But it wasn't like all those wins were pretty, and then they lost like four straight, and they backed into the playoffs, and I'm not that confident in them, but they're at Heinz Field.
Right.
And the Browns are brown, you know.
Well, the Browns for his kind of destined kind of the year that they had, it's a little star-crossed at the same time.
I think they were destined to break this ceiling, but maybe not the escalator, too.
Right, slightly too soon for them. And then
who knows, though? Because, like, Baker Mayfield, this is kind of, like, sets up as, like, this is how you take the next step. Overcome all this adversity, beat the Steelers at home, and you're not favored. Weirder things have happened.
Right. I want to say that the lower seeds are going to make the deep runs.
Right.
On the AFC side.
Home field advantage doesn't matter as
much.
Right,
because I'm not seeing it. They're going to have family in the stands at the Steelers games and the Bills right now. The fans are going through COVID tests.
Sure.
Right now they're dealing with the COVID test because that game is on Saturday.
Is that the Peyton plan as well?
I guess. Sean Payton. That's 50,000.
50,000 are going to say, yep, we will chill and we'll keep track of all of them too.
We'll all be fine. So when I look at those teams, I see the Colts, who are playing the Bills. Again, this is why I'm not crazy about the lower seeds on the AFC side.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough matchup, too.
I want Baltimore. I picked Baltimore to make the run this year. I thought this was going to be their year to go much deeper. They clearly had a lot of issues. Buffalo, where I read this morning, there's this, and it's not outlandish, but I questioned it when I saw it, so I'm going to bring it up, that there are NFL, quote-unquote, unnamed NFL GMs and front office people who would say the better long-term play would be Josh Allen over Pat Mahomes. Is Josh Allen worth $500 million?
Well, I think if you ask that question, most would say, well, Josh Allen isn't better than Patrick Mahomes. They say, correct. But just look at how their bodies are built. Look at how they play their games. You know, again, it's not about talent because Patrick Mahomes has all the talent in the world, more in his pinky finger than all of us have in our entire beings. But he dislocated his knee last year. Sooner or later, he's not going to be able to scamper around as much as he does, and your arm is going to change. And we've seen Josh Allen. He has a great arm, too. But again, he plays such a more controlled style of football that I think that he would, first of all, take fewer hits over the course of his career. And just, it seems just enough difference from like a typical pocket passer to be, you know, special, but not enough to completely change the game. Like Mahomes, like the game will change eventually again. Like defenses are going to catch up and then it's up to the offenses to find another wrinkle. But I just think that maybe Allen's more of a utility tool, whereas Mahomes is the very specific buzzsaw. And it's a pretty big buzzsaw.
Yeah, the Bills, Allen needs is he needs a feature back.
Yeah.
Singletary is not the answer. Moss is, again, TJ Yeldon is the third stringer there.
But that's like so secondary problem. Like if that's their biggest problem, that's when you know, yeah, longevity wise, this is probably going to work. And you have younger receivers with Buffalo too, because Kansas City, you know, like Travis Kelce isn't young.
No, he's not.
You know, and that team's not going to be able to keep everybody around. But, you know, Stephon Diggs, he's what, 27, 28, maybe. I don't even think he's there yet. And, you know, they're just getting started too, but I really like the Bills this year. I really do, because there's something to be said, like, we're not really supposed to be here. And sure. And that you take that step, and you kind of surprise yourselves, even though they have been a playoff team the last couple of seasons. But the Colts are a really tough test, because that's a lot of experience on their defensive side, especially in their cornerbacks. Like, so it might come down to the brains. And if that's if Josh Allen's ready to step up in that area as well, holy cow, he might be a little bit closer to Patrick Mahomes than we thought. But I don't know. It's how many snaps have you seen? How many situations have you seen so far? It might be too big of a moment.
Right. Colts have experience. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense for Buffalo has stepped up quite a bit in the last several weeks. This could be a shootout, or it could be an incredibly close, kind of grinded out.
How's the
game?
Bills' run defense?
Very good.
Okay, so Jonathan Taylor's not really a factor then.
No 100-yard rushers.
Oh, there you go.
Since week 10, actually, that's the last one that they've had.
So it might just come down to execution, which most of these games do.
Well, at this point, yes, that's what it has to roll down to. So, you know, as you look at it, maybe it is Buffalo's kind of magical run, just based on how other teams are struggling, and, you know, Cleveland's kind of star-crossed year as well.
Right.
But, you know, Kansas City's still Kansas City.
Right. But who doesn't want like an AFC championship game between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs? Honestly.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
It would be
twice.
Sexy. It would be incredibly sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Lindsay here talking about wild card games and teams that might have a chance to make the deep run into the playoffs. On the NFC side, this one I think I've got a little bit better of a handle on, just because we do know these guys better, and it's because you have a lot of familiar faces. But you can kind of cross off Chicago and Chicago Bears.
How dare you?
Right, but
question, Mitch.
Can we just be real?
Happened, Paul.
It's true.
Trubisky's playing well. They have a good defense. Like we said, Khalil Mack can take over a game, can't he?
He can.
I don't know. Ask any of us at this organization in this town, but. You know, home field advantage isn't the same at the Superdome as it always is, and it's not like Breeze is, you know, tossing dimes like he was 5-6 years ago.
No, but Alvin Kamara is that kind of a player this year.
That's true.
He is that kind of a game changer.
But how many
this year.
Flags will the defense be called for? Because in playoff moments, Paul, they are not. That defense has had nothing but problems.
True. To make the run, the interesting part about this is, and we talk about lower seeds and higher seeds, and it's strange how. I'm looking at the Rams-Seahawks game, and everything tells me that the Rams should be playing better, but it's whether or not Jared Goff can actually get on the field. If he can't get on the field, this won't be a game.
No.
If he can, maybe they have a shot.
Is this an offensive matchup or a defensive matchup more so? I think this is a defense, because the Seahawks are peaking at the right time for their defense, which was not great to start the season. And we know what kind of tools are on the Rams side. That's why the over under at 42, I'm like, I'm not really sure. And as you said, if Goff is not out there, I think this full tilt goes into a defensive matchup, and then the Seahawks just run with it. This is really the toughest one for me to call this weekend, I think.
Rams and Seahawks?
Yeah. Because you just don't know what team is going to show up.
With no Goff, it's Seahawks game to lose.
And they know each other so well.
Sure, absolutely. But I'm not expecting a shootout in this one at all.
No.
Not like previous years. I think it'll be low. I do.
Why don't they just start handing the ball off to DK? Honestly.
They could. Well, you know, if they play Jalen Ramsey on Lockett instead and just let Metcalf get his numbers, then you pretty much kind of, you actually really have shut them down at that
point.
Is
Ramsey going to be put on Lockett? Didn't they go out and get Ramsey specifically for DK?
Sure. Well, they've got that in place, but, you know, what are you talking about? You know, what do you need? What do you need to really kind of bring them down? If your offense is clicking, you can put Ramsey anywhere you want him. You know, just Donald's just got to try to contain.
Right.
Wilson more than anything
just
else.
Just double team him, I guess.
Yeah. So again, Tampa is the only seed that's below That's kind of
and I love that for an upset as well, even though everybody's just like, yes, this is fine. You just have to get there. And because Tom Brady and all of his savvy and then Rob and all that experience that they have. And, you know, they haven't been on the playoffs for many years as well.
It could be a slog game, too.
It could be a slog because we know how to beat Tom Brady. It's called make him run out of the pocket. But Von Miller gave us the blueprint years ago. Is Chase Young that type of player right now? Because he might be. He might be running on that type of adrenaline and skill and everything.
Does Brady still have one more little kind of magic in the wand that he holds, though? Because it's Brady.
It depends.
As long as they can get to him.
Yeah. Or you don't even have to. You just have to get the clock in his head sped up because he'll do it himself. He'll force those throws or his touch will be just a little bit off. We saw that earlier this season. Even like I said, it's just can Washington sustain the amount of pressure to make him uncomfortable the entire game? Because it's been done, and it doesn't have to be MVP Von Miller level either.
Sure. No,
I don't know. I kind of like Washington, man.
Well, you're talking about upsets.
I know,
here.
But maybe I'm just wishful thinking.
Some monster upsets. But to be able to make that run, to be able to get past Green Bay, I'm just not sure there's a team.
Well, I'm not saying get past Green Bay.
I'm just saying that I don't think there's a team that might be able to do it. If Tampa gets by Washington, they may have an opportunity.
Yeah.
But they would be playing Green Bay in that next round.
I think Green Bay's biggest competition is Green Bay. And, you know, Aaron has shown the ability to kind of overextend himself and overstep. And they haven't had the best of luck in playoffs as of late. But this year just seems so different and so smooth and so cohesive. If it's not this year, when is it for the Packers? Because you're never going to get, I don't think Aaron Rodgers can get much better. Maybe this is not something I need to put out into the ether because I as a Vikings fan, I don't want any part of it.
Screaming Packers
like,
love.
He's won MVPs before. He's won a Super Bowl before.
Correct.
He did not play like this. He did not play like this, and he did not have the weapons that he has right now.
Yeah,
so,
it's been really...
If it's not it's now been, for them,
it's,
when?
It's been cool to watch,
yeah.
Actually, just that high performance. And for him taking all the heat earlier on this year where we were literally discussing the fact that he was going to have to hand over the keys
right.
and move on
right.
and have the season that he's had.
That same thing happened to Brady when they said people were saying he wasn't the best quarterback on his roster and Garoppolo was still there. They finished the year and won the Super Bowl that year too. And so maybe it is one of those things. But unlike, you know, Kansas City that has, I feel, a couple more years, we don't really know with Green Bay. I mean, maybe I think they could be just as good next year, but I don't know if you get as many good vibes if you don't have as good of a start, you know?
You talk about the good vibes. Imagine you're a Tampa Bay Bucs fan at the beginning of the season, and we've signed Tom Brady, okay? We have Gronk coming out of retirement to come play for us.
Mm-hmm. Fournette, come on down.
Leonard Fournette decides to go down the four and join them, and then they land Antonio Brown. I'm like, I've got weapons upon weapons upon weapons upon weapons of all these guys. They're the 5 seed.
Right.
So no matter what they do, the road to the Lombardi Trophy is all going to be on the road.
Yeah.
There's no more home games.
You're right.
It means cold climates no matter what it is, unless they happen to pass through New Orleans or whoever happens to be on that other side of the ledger.
Right.
And maybe you're lucky to get a dome game.
Yeah. And we know that Tom is very familiar playing cold weather, but he says he wants nothing to do with hand warmers anymore. So just putting that out there and kind of having that, I now play in Florida and live the Florida lifestyle. Well, that might be the edge you need. It's a long road. And Arian said it himself, Super Bowl or bust. Well, good luck.
Yeah, right.
Good luck.
Yeah,
there's lots of good teams.
Yeah, they'll be making graphics of the Road Warriors if it happens to be Tampa making it.
Gosh, the team t-shirts just
that,
wait.
That deep. Saturday, wild card games. Indianapolis at Buffalo. That's the early one, followed by the Rams in Seattle, Tampa at Washington. Wild cards on Sunday. Baltimore at Tennessee. Chicago at New Orleans. And Cleveland and Pittsburgh in a rematch of the final game of the regular season. So we do have JR from Wager Pro stepping up at 4:05 to hang out with us. We'll see if we can pick his brain for a few locks for the upcoming weekend. But next, athletes are still singing.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Sometimes the best of talk topics just land in our laps. Paul and Lindsay here on this Thursday afternoon.
Hello.
Today, the guy who's may or may not play in the game for the Buffalo Bills this weekend, Cole Beasley, decided to regale us with a song.
It has been gifted to us, you say.
We have a little bit of it.
We do?
I believe.
How special.
Sometimes I'm in my feelings. And other times I'm numb. Hey. Hey. Sometimes I feel I'm living. Other times I'm done.
I'm done. Can we be done?
Times my cup half empty. Other times it's half full. Sometimes don't give a fuck. There's other times that I do.
So, sometimes Cole Beasley, who says he worked on this song after his kids went to bed.
All right. Yeah. Time on your hands, huh?
Dropped this little gem on us today. If Grammy winning? Probably not.
It's
not terrible.
No, it's really not.
It rhymes.
It does. And we, you know, there's always the saying that if you're an athlete, you always want to be an entertainer. And if you're an entertainer, you want to be an athlete. And all power to Cole and anybody else that wants to pursue their musical talents and dreams, because it's his money. And so not my cup of tea.
Sometimes by Cole Beasley is not.
Yeah, I mean, I get the in the feelings line, trust me, but outside of that, but I don't have a problem. I really don't. A lot of people like to give these guys crap. I'm like, it's their money. It's art. They're just trying to do it's a creative outlet. Now, if you're just trying to throw, you know, your demos at every one of your teammates and every single person you see on the street, you're like, oh, here, check out my new single. Check out. I'm like, all right, buddy, we get it. But, you know, CBs. Who cares?
Right, CDs out of the back of their trunk.
CBs CDs.
Come rolling up to training camp. Hey, I just dropped a new single. Oh, did you? Okay, sweet,
it's
Cole.
It's lit.
Right.
It's real lit.
Yeah, this will be their...
Sometimes I really want to quit.
Yeah, correct, Cole. Correct, Cole.
So
keep practicing.
Well done for Cole Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the latest musician to...
No.
Athlete to... You know, do the whole musical thing.
No.
There
are so many.
There are bad and good. Like, Damian Lillard raps. He rapped at, like, the NBA All-Star game last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, the halftime show because they couldn't pay for anybody real, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, was Cardi B not free?
I've seen Shaq, you know, spinning.
I've seen him do that, too. And
DJ Diesel, though, he opened up for Alice in Wonderland at the Zombie Pub Crawl in Minnesota a couple of years ago. It was awesome. It was the best show I'd seen in a while. I was freezing as hell. But
did he sell albums because he was Shaq, or was he actually decent? Because
no, he's actually really good, Paul. But the thing is, too, there's when it comes to like EDM and stuff, there are people that do it more for like the musicality, and there are people that do it more for the show. Like more for the show would be like the Chainsmokers.
Sure.
And then more for the music would be like Alice in Wonderland. Like she's a classically trained cellist. Like it's very, very orchestral. And Shaq's kind of like in the middle. I don't know if he makes every single element of his tracks or his beats, but damn it, he puts on a good show. And he is 100% into it. Like when he's at those festivals, he goes to the other shows as well. I mean, he even does live streams from his house with his sons, and they're just like, we're playing bangers, and it's the funniest thing ever. And that's why Shaq is an icon.
That's why Shaq is Shaq.
Yeah. But yeah, I think every single athlete has tried, and every single entertainer is, you know, trying to be an athlete.
Do you think the 2021 version of the Vegas Golden Knights could pull off a 1985 Chicago Bears Super Bowl shuffle? If you lined up the blue line and said, here's Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Leonard sliding back and forth on the ice in their goalie gear, do you think
that's how that starts?
Do you think there would be a
cut to black?
I'm just wondering because that's really like the last time that was like a team effort that was put forth in that kind
of a
way.
There's been a couple other iterations, but it's never been to that level.
But I'm not getting TikTok dances and lip syncing.
No. I don't know. I don't know what that equivalent would be for the Golden Knights. Wasn't there like...
I'm just saying, could you imagine them doing that, though? I mean, seriously, 36 years
after... Depends on how well the season's going.
After the Super Bowl shuffle,
hockey can maybe be tough, like, because in your playoffs, and if you're putting stuff out like that, I'm going to tell you right now, if it's not your coaches, the community's going to be like, what the hell are you doing? You're supposed to be focused on the games. You do whatever you want to do. But it's just, there's a cultural difference, I think, there.
It's just one of those odd kind of deals because you don't see...
We should start the choreography. We could just dream this up. Sell it. Well, do the Knights.
Do you notice it's always guys, too?
Mm-hmm.
It's not... There aren't a lot of female athletes who are thinking to themselves, you know what?
I need more attention.
I need to go cut a signal.
Have you noticed me lately?
I need to drop a new album.
Yeah. Well, we have other things to do.
I guess.
I don't know.
Focus on the actual sport?
Exactly.
Instead?
Do what you want to do in your own free time. But if it starts affecting your game or your ability to prep or to prepare, that's where the problem lies.
Well, you know you're going to be bumping that Cole Beasley on your way home.
Oh, that, you know me. Speakers up, windows down, nothing but bangers with a Z.
Sometimes my cup is empty. Sometimes
Sir,
my cup is full.
And a Toyota Camry. Are you in your feelings? Because I am. And Tammy.
Sometimes
Tammy the trailblazer.
I like cross-cut potatoes.
Tammy's got great speakers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you're going to definitely be bumping this in the window.
It will be second on my playlist of modern classical hits.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, the power rankings for announcers.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul here, Lindsay there on this Thursday afternoon. Throwback in some cases. I always forget that Throwback Thursday exists.
Thinking out loud. What?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. This is a banger. I think this is like a 2015 truffle butter, right?
Yeah, this is way back.
Nicki, Lil Wayne, Drake. I mean, well, they were on the Young Money Cash Money team together. That's no longer a thing.
No, they aren't.
No, but it's a banger. They have plenty.
It can be.
This is on the game day playlist for me back in the day.
Was it?
It was.
USA Today has rolled out its power rankings list of announcers for the year 2020. They've done it for the first time. It probably won't be a regular thing because they had to fill some space. But it's,
sure. It's not like this industry is competitive at all.
It's slightly amusing to chuckle at.
Yeah. We all love your voices equally.
Number 10 is Tom Rinaldi, who left ESPN. They actually list him with Fox Sports. So this is a kind of a weird number 10.
Yeah.
He was part of
college. What does he usually do? Oh,
He does all those human interest stories. Like, every time you hear about, like, there was like that walk-on kicker in Nebraska or whatever it was who played in like one game or
right the story behind the story type of stuff,
a little bit of inspiration or whatever it is.
What about 9? It has to be like super specific, right? Or not like just around one certain or two certain fan bases.
This would be the Chicago baseball announcers.
Come on, what is this list? What is this? Come on.
They're good announcers.
I'm sure they are, but
there's no doubt about it.
I would be offended if I'm Tom Rinaldi. You can't even name who's better than me, but you say these two are better than me? Come on.
Yeah. Lewis Riddick at ESPN is 8 on this list.
What a year for him.
Yeah, he's had a big year.
He's interviewing for GM jobs.
Yeah, he probably won't be an announcer anytime soon.
Monday Night Football deserves to... I hope he stays because he is excellent, I think. Yeah,
he's gonna step up.
Yeah, and he's only going to get better.
Yeah, he's going to be a GM, though.
Yeah.
I remember the time I spent with him, like, a minute.
Of course. You have a picture?
Nope.
Damn it.
I do not.
Next time, take a selfie.
It is not about me.
Speaking of the chain smokers.
7 is Doris Burke of ESPN.
Too low. Too low on the ranking, on the scale, if you ask me.
You're saying she's better than Kevin Harlan.
I'd be like 1A.
You're saying she's better than Kevin Harlan.
I mean, I love Kevin Harlan. I love most of these names on this list.
Mr. Basement Broadcaster.
Well, Harlan is really good at the one-liners, though, right? Like, he's always the guy that if there's, like, somebody streaking on the field or there's a squirrel out there.
Yeah, he could call a paper bag floating in the
air. And that, to me, is so much more valuable than like your ability to call sports, and maybe that's where like that's a problem. But I love that about him, and honestly, it helps your brand way more.
Yeah, he does.
It's brilliant
because he does NFL and NBA, and he
up
does
high, down do, low.
Does hoops and things like
oh,
that.
Oh, he's an icon.
Jim Nantz.
Speaking of icons, I'll also too low.
Okay.
You don't like Jim?
Jim Nantz is 5
on
the list. No,
you're
I do.
Golf
no,
guy.
I do like Jim Nantz.
Oh, I love
really do.
Jim.
I think he would be higher than. Actually, he would probably be 1 on this list for me.
I would say that he's at least top 3.
I would move Nantz and Harlan above the 4 that they have up here. And Al Michaels being at 4.
I love Al, right? But I'm sorry. You're not 4. I will put you more down. And it's not like he's not a legend. But he hasn't been there as consistently. He's getting up there, and you know, he's never eaten a vegetable, Paul. That's weird.
Yeah.
But he, you know, it's Al Michaels. He's one of those names that you think of instantly when you hear the words, you know, sports announcer, Al Michaels. Yep.
You're like, yep. Done.
So, I don't know. I think that's more of a legacy play, but, you know.
No, I agree with you. I think it is, too. I mean, I like Al. He's good at what he does.
And speaking of legacy at three, Tony Romo.
Tony Romo.
What an impression he has made. I'm surprised they didn't put him at one, because I think everybody says that there's never been a bad call out of his mouth.
Yeah, Romo's got his stuff down. There's no doubt about
it. He's kind of annoying sometimes, though.
And then Herb Street's at two. And where I wouldn't put him that high.
I won't either. I feel like he's connected and like he knows his stuff.
Right.
But he's not the most effective communicator. Like, he doesn't hook me in nearly as much as Jim Nance.
Yeah, Nance for sure.
But maybe it's just association with certain events, though, too. Because that's about nostalgia. That's about just good vibes.
Sure. This is the one we're all supposed to fight about because they put him number one as Joe Buck.
Yeah, this is just fishing. That's why this entire list is kind of, like, not real or not okay with me. A lot of people like to hate on Joe Buck. I don't think he's nearly as bad. I just think that, why does this guy get everything? Everything.
He spit on me once.
What? What?
No joke.
On accident? I hope.
We were in St. Louis.
Okay. Do you care to expand?
1996.
Oh, my goodness. This is Frosted Tips era, Paul.
St. Louis, Philadelphia baseball game. It was the series right after Ozzie Smith announced he was going to retire from baseball. We were talking in a hallway, and he spit on me.
Congratulations.
It was more of a gleek.
You never washed your hand again. Yeah,
it was
exactly.
A gleek. Yeah, got I just you. Wiped it off. He's like, sorry, man. I'm like, don't worry,
it's okay.
Joe.
I'm just going to.
Don't worry, Mr. Buck. I'm sorry, I was young. Don't worry, Mr. Buck. Although he was like, what, like a year older than me?
Yeah, I do find it funny that he's an older dad, and I think he has twins, too.
Yeah.
Doesn't he do commentary of his twins just tearing around?
That's what he did during the COVID.
Better.
Remember,
nothing better.
He got offered $1 million to announce the porn, remember?
That's right. What an opportunity. Like I said, he gets everything.
He gets everything.
The hub. Everything.
Up next, football at four as the Playmakers rolls on.
The kick runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number two of the Playmakers, Paul Ihander here, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is my sister from another mister, Lindsey Brown.
Hi!
Back so soon with some football action for you. Also, we're going to do some hockeying coming up at 4:25 with a few tidbits from practices and who we think the most huggable Golden Knight will be now that Nate Schmidt is gone.
The top of our priority list to get through that.
I'm thinking we need to actually have that conversation, to be honest.
Well, we might need a little teddy bear of some sort.
And at 4:45, golf is back. Yeah, for 2021. And there are some changes that are coming and some suggestions on how to combat the issue that is the distance problem in golf.
Mostly Bryson DeChambeau.
Right.
Really.
I mean, but is it a distance problem? I mean, that's the thing. Is it truly a distance problem or is it just a course problem?
We have so many problems, Paul.
Well, we'll dig into that when we talk a little golf. So, yeah, we've got football, hockey, and golf. And here, as we start off the 4 o'clock hour, let's start with football.
Oh, the footiest of footballs. You want to place your money on a game? Well, guess what? None of it makes sense.
It always makes sense.
It does, but there's so many of these matchups are so close. And
right.
A lot of the indicators that we look to look for an edge or to explain why we think this team is going to win, they just don't mean as much this year.
Yeah, it does. You're right. No, you are right about that.
Thank you.
It feels a little bit more like a
roll.
It
feels good to admit, doesn't it?
It's a little bit of a roll of the dice in some cases,
yeah.
You know, for a lot of fans and a lot of people who do want to lay some money down. I have returned to the land of parlay in 2021.
I still don't understand why. But you alerted us a couple days ago that you were victorious
the penny,
so far.
The penny slot of sports wagering has returned to my my portfolio.
It's a penny slot to buy in, but it'll take your credit card on the way out.
It absolutely
right?
will.
Yeah.
So I'm hedging a little bit more,
okay.
As suggested by our friend JR from Wager Pro. So I'm doing a little bit more of that, but I spread out the bets a little bit, and you know, last weekend was 6 out of 7.
It's pretty damn good.
6 out of 7. Some were money line bets. Some were over and unders. Again, spread it out a little bit, trying something a little bit new this year when it comes to laying down. I've not put any money down on Super Bowl favorites, which our friends at William Hill have listed the Chiefs as the favorite to win.
Went out on a limb there.
Right? With the Packers right behind them, the long shots of the Bears and Washington, those will pay off pretty big. But everyone is worried about the Buccaneers because of where they place them.
Mm-hmm. They're at plus 1,000.
Plus 1,000. But, you know, if the Bucs, basically, because, again, as we talked about last hour, the Bucs find themselves in the unique situation to where at the beginning of the year, everyone thought they were going to be favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But now you look at them and you go, okay, they've got to win on the road.
Yeah.
Most likely every single worry just to get to the Super Bowl.
But there is something about like the road mission and you know, the business trip away. Like it's a lot more work, but most teams, you know, if they're going for a championship, a lot of them clinch on the road because it's just fewer distractions. Everybody's, you know, zoned in on what time do we get to the bus? This is what we do. Here's the schedule. And so it can be a blessing in some ways. It just depends on who you're running into. And they have Washington first.
Yeah, it's clear long shots, obviously. And as we see, you know, the injury reports come out, you know, they don't look very good, you know, for the Browns, the Bills who are, you know.
I'm super nervous for them.
Who are a solid favorite.
But like you play, like Stephon Diggs is questionable. You go, Stephon. Unless you physically can't, isn't this just kind of smoke? I mean, that's literally what my question I wrote out for JR that I'll ask him in a couple of minutes. But like, if Stephon's not out there, that's a very different team. Not just production-wise, but like spirit-wise.
Sure. No, you're right. And it's a matter of making sure that they are ready to go.
Right.
You know, good to go in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good to go
right.
On the field. You know, health in the mind and health in the body are pretty much the same thing when it comes to playoff time, too. And the stronger minds tend to win out, you know, more than anything else, because you see playoff football being about those teams, those players who want the ball.
Right.
On the most
consistent
basis.
Well, and know what to do with it when they get it and aren't fazed by the chaos or the expectations or the stakes that surround games like this. Because you're still playing the same game you always have.
Right.
It's just, you know, means a little bit more.
Right. Winning, you're in. Losing, you go home.
But that's enough to cause some people to lose their minds a little bit.
It certainly is. The guy who's going to try to help us keep ourselves grounded is our friend JR from WagerPro.com. You can listen for WagerPro.com on Saturday mornings here on CBS Sports Radio 1140 at 7 o'clock and on Sundays again at 8 o'clock. And we have the bowl season mostly behind us here, JR. So we have college hoops and then, of course, a very, very unique wild card weekend.
We do. In fact, you've got 6 games this weekend, which is really exciting for somebody like me. We haven't had something like this. And, you know, it really gets things more revved up rather than 2 games per day. We've got 3. And I got to say, the matchups this year are just outstanding. And the odds makers, if you look at it, I think they're a little confused on a few of these games. You look at that Baltimore-Tennessee game, I think they're up in the air. They don't know what to do. The line on that game, they opened it at 3, 3.5. Even the total has only went up and down. Maybe a half a point over the last few days, whereas some of the other games we've seen some major activity, like the Steelers opening up at 3, went to 4.5, now it's up to 6. So you've seen some activity on some of the games. Others, they're not moving, just because I believe strongly the odds makers are a little bit asleep at the switch. So here's what we're doing at Wager Pro. First off, I'm going to give you a huge blowout winner on this matchup between the Bills and the Colts. Love the game. And I've also got big information in the NFC matchup between the Seahawks and the Rams. So 2 big matchups on Saturday. Both of them are absolutely free right now. The against the spread winner on a 30-second recorded message. For anyone listening, call this toll-free number. Listen to a short message, and I'll give you both winners. Colts Bills, Rams Seahawks. 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733 for 2 blowout. I'm telling you guys, wild card weekend, we make money every year. In fact, last year we went 3-1, but we hit every game thereafter for the playoffs right up to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to make you money. Call now, get both winners on the recording, 800-499-3733.
Well, JR, I want to make sure that our listeners give you a call on those 2 matchups, so I'll take you in a different direction. And one that isn't so confusing, but I think is a little bit more muddled because the Saints are going to be hosting the Bears this weekend, and the Bears are the Bears. But the Superdome isn't exactly the Superdome. And so is there enough kind of neutrality for people to question that 10-point spread, or at least the favorite in New Orleans, favored by 10 points?
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to be questioning that point spread, quite frankly. I feel like New Orleans has kind of held back the last couple of weeks. Let's face it, Drew Brees coming off of the injury, and don't get me wrong, Taysom Hill played fantastic in place of Drew Brees for the duration of those three or four games where he had the rib injury. But when he came back, you could just see they were holding back the playbook. They weren't letting him throw it big downfield. They weren't letting him get into trouble. They wanted the ball out of his hands pretty fast. I think that gave him a couple of more weeks to, you know, get himself back into a position where he can maybe take a few more hits, and they wanted to reserve that, I believe, for the playoffs. Now, don't get me wrong, Chicago, they're no joke. I know they're 8-8 straight up and against the spread, but, I mean, they are a hard-hitting defense when they want to be. Even though they've allowed 23 points on the regular this year, you know, that's most of the time when they were playing from behind and they would allow points that didn't count. When they were in games, they held the teams to small numbers and they hit hard. It's going to be a physical game, but still, I don't think it's enough points. I mean, when you look at it, quite frankly, New Orleans is the clear-cut better team. The point spread's right where it probably should be to get the public 50-50 on this game. But my opinion, I think New Orleans runs away with this. By the second half, third quarter, halfway through, you'll know you're a winner if you're on the Saints.
JR with WagerPro.com. Listen to it on Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, and then again Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. JR, I'm going to make you put your thinking cap on here real quick as we wrap up the regular season. Who was the team that gave the bettors the most trouble? Who didn't call you over this season when it came to just against the spread and just over-unders? Who was that just kind of weird enigma this year?
I guess you'd have to say, I mean, let's face it, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady was up in the air, left and right, zig, zag. You know, you didn't know when to use them. You didn't know when to go against them. So, you know, there was a time when everyone thought they were going to be the team to beat in the NFC, and then they falter for a couple of weeks. Then they come back. I would say that Tampa Bay is definitely, even though 9-7 against the spread, 11-5 straight up, but they won games in situations where one may have thought that it was a bad situation or spot to be able to bet them, and other times when you thought maybe they were going to have a tighter matchup, they wound up demolishing and annihilating the other team. So if you ask me, I feel like Tampa Bay was one of those hit-miss teams this year. And same thing with Indianapolis. I mean, the Colts are 11-5 straight up, but only 8-8 against the spread. Little bit of a disappointment, just like the Titans, who got off to a great start this year, wound up, you know, ending the season at 11-5, but still two games under 500 against the spread. And the big one would be Cleveland, who were 11-5 this year. But how about this? 6-10 against the spread, four games under 500. I mean, again, I think that Tampa Bay, situationally speaking, was the tougher of the teams that are right now in the wild card weekend. And the one that was most underperforming against the spread would be the Cleveland Browns.
You're always providing us with a blueprint on how to make money, or our listeners looking to make money. And a few years ago, Von Miller gave us a blueprint on how to beat Tom Brady, just to kind of circle back to Tampa Bay, because we know how talented that roster is. But I really love how Chase Young has played and just that entire momentum behind that team in general. If you get him out of the pocket and you chase around, you know, he starts, you know, throwing away from ghosts and loses that touch. Are Washington that big of a threat, and is Chase Young that big of a threat where you can get Tom Brady uncomfortable, in your opinion?
Well, we know that you can get him uncomfortable, but Tom, I think, has figured out over the last, decade or so that even in times when he knows that he's going to be put under pressure, he'll dump the ball off. He'll come up with a hot read. He'll get the ball out of his hands. He'll run the football when needed. He's just that intelligent of a quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Chase Young is definitely a man that's going to be on a mission, but he can't single-handedly take down, you know, Tom Brady and this Bucs team that is just seriously, clicking on all cylinders. Feels like that the wheels have been well oiled. You know, they started to get into a rhythm with Antonio Brown. He's got a lot of weapons on offense, both at the tight end and wide receiver position and in the slot. So, you know, in order for Washington, for them to be able to keep up, they're going to have to score points. It's not going to be just their defense. And I just don't know that they have enough, even if with Alex Smith playing with, at 75-80%, I just don't see him being able to keep up and putting up the amount of points that they'll need to be able to beat and at least cover against Tampa Bay.
A big wild card weekend ahead of us. JR with WagerPro.com ready to help you out and help you make some money. But first, you got to make the call, JR.
You got it. Guys, call that number now. Two huge blowout winners, and they're absolutely free on my recorded message. The winner of the Rams and the Seahawks and the winner of the Colts and the Bills on a 30-second recording. Call now, 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. Two winners, one recorded message, absolutely free. Call it now, 800-499-3733. Have a safe week, guys, and go out there and make some money.
JR, always appreciate the insight, friend. JR from Wager Pro, 800-499-3733. The show airs Saturday mornings at 7 and Sunday mornings at 8 here on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Just like his knowledge, our wealth knows no bounds.
Yeah, hopefully.
You just have to put your trust in the right people, Paul. That's it.
It usually helps. Right now, the college football awards ceremonies getting underway. They're going to start handing those out
The Heisman already happened.
Within the hour. Well, it's all the other stuff.
There's other stuff?
Besides the Heisman, yes.
We recognize other people.
Yes, Defensive Player of the Year.
I thought football was just one position, Paul.
Special Teams Player of the Year. You know,
all of these things.
Right.
So those are being announced or being rolled out?
Those are being rolled out right now. So as soon as we start figuring out all the other people that are not the Heisman Trophy winner. Hey, at least the good thing is the Heisman Trophy winner will not be quarterback of the year.
Exactly. At least we'll have a little bit of a change up there.
Or Doak Walker Award winner for the best running back. So we'll see. As soon as we get some of those, we'll get you clued in on that. There is a shakeup happening in Philadelphia right now, where
it's already been shaken and stirred
in
there.
It absolutely has. Although there,
it's like Darlin Finding Nemo up in here.
There have been players who have walked back the whole idea that we didn't know
emotions have calmed.
Nate Sudfeld was going to play in that game, and Hurts was going to come out. There were 9 or 10 guys who were healthy scratches in the game, and.
Clearly things got out of hand. If you're having, you know, all these rumors fly around, if you're having guys questioning, you know, coach's decision, not just after the fact, but like during the game, something has gone awry culturally, and you can ship players out, but sometimes it's a coaching decision or several coaching decisions.
Well, this is a full changeover that's happening in Philadelphia.
Is it everybody but Dougie?
Pretty much everyone but him. Yeah, defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz is leaving now. The senior offensive assistant Rich Scangarello and the senior offensive consultant Marty Morningweg, you'll recognize that name, they're on expiring contracts, so they will not come out. So they could get an offensive coordinator in 2021. Since Peterson was doing a lot of the play calling, they could get a new one. They just had a lot of voices in the air. At least that's what the reports are suggesting. So, I mean,
Schwartz was around for the Super Bowl run. Like he was a coordinator for that, right?
Yeah, for defense.
And so that was like 3-4 years ago. When you're in that and you have that success, as you move further away and then as this situation in Philadelphia has kind of devolved, you know, you kind of start drawing these battle lines, I'm sure, as a team, as a coach, because some players are just going to be closer with certain coaches more than others. And so if anything, this is kind of just like, who's the supreme voice in this place right now? It's Dougie. And then the rest of you, thank you so much for helping with our success. But now we've reached a point where your presence and the success that we've had a few years ago is now interrupting our present future. At least that's how I look at it.
We'll see where all this goes. This could be an interesting shakeup for just a cultural shakeup.
Will they talk to Eric Bieniemy?
I'm kidding.
Well, Houston doesn't need him, apparently.
Well, no, but you know what? If I'm Houston, I can make a run at Anthony Lynn.
You know what? You're damn right, Paul. You're damn right you do. And Bieniemy is going to find a spot.
He's going to get a game.
And it's overdue. We all know that. And you and I have clashed over the Anthony Lynn kind of his tenure this year, but we both kind of fell in the same spot when he was let go a couple days ago. They need a culture change there. And I'm such a huge fan of a players turn coaches, he might just be the right guy to Deshaun. Chill.
Right.
Chill.
Got you. I got you.
Because I don't think that rumor just pops up out of anywhere. Whether or not Deshaun put it out himself, it might have been his agent or his buddy or what have you. Sometimes it's like parents or like whatever. But that stuff doesn't just pop up.
Well, right. And there's a report now from NFL.com. So this is from the league, essentially.
From the league.
Ian Rappaport who's saying that Watson is unhappy with the organization after McNair, who's the owner, Cal McNair, said he would be involved in the GM and coach hiring process and provide feedback, but apparently did neither when they hired Nick Caserio as the
new
GM.
Didn't they use like a one of those...
Search firms, right?
Search firms. We can't make decisions for ourselves. And you ended up hiring just another fish from the same pond, from the same tree, a different apple, right? From the Bill Belichick tree. And so... I think there's palpable frustration for Deshaun, and he is your most important player. And you already have J.J. Watt saying sorry. Like, there's enough tension in that air where this could get really ugly. And it's not like McNair is the most well-liked owner in this league, let alone with his own team, based off of previous things that he said.
So we're coming back to the Cliffs notes here. There was a report this morning by Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, saying that Watson had been shopping himself to, I guess, other teammates, suggesting
putting the option out
right,
there.
That maybe I should ask for a trade.
Yeah, because his contract isn't that prohibitive.
Apparently, Rappaport's now doubling down, saying Watson has not spoken to Texans ownership in the last few days, though they have tried to call him.
That is a problem. See, I bet you this is agent putting this out there. This is a real thing, and this is a huge problem for Houston, don't you think?
It's Watson's contract extension. I mean, locks him up. But again, you're talking about the NFL's leading passer, so I don't think people would
pass.
No one would pass on the money.
No, he would be like he would be the most perfect trade piece at this point because he has experience, he has success, he wants there's urgency to leave, and he's a talent. He's excellent. So if the Texans were looking to recoup some of the value that that Bill O'Brien shipped out, this is how you do it. It just means that you have to sacrifice your franchise QB for your franchise. And I don't know if that's the right decision if I'm the Texans either, because if I'm a fan and that happens, why am I buying this jersey? I'm like, it's one thing to be a Jacksonville fan, have every, you know, defensive player that leave and go off into greener pastures. It's another thing when a team like this that got so much praise for picking him where they did, and because this is a Trubisky year, this is the Mahomes year. He was picked one spot ahead of Mahomes, one or two.
Yeah.
Like, to have this completely devolve, huge problem. We're like, all of a sudden we're questioning ownership because fans have that power. Right?
Yeah.
Can't go in the stadium anyways. Guess what? Middle fingers to you.
Right. If I don't want to buy your jersey, I won't buy your jersey. It's not how you want to.
I'm not going to come back next year.
Off.
Yeah.
I do some college football news here. Boise State's head coaching job is still open. Kellen Moore turned him down. Cowboys offensive coordinator.
Why? What? That's Kellen's spot, right?
Right. But he has NFL aspirations, and that's a pretty big job, even for him.
I would think that he would still go back to his alma mater, and that even if he does have NFL, like, you can. It's head coaching experience. Has he had head coaching experience yet?
No.
Okay.
But what you have is a relationship with Dak, and if the Cowboys want to re-sign Dak...
And it's not like McCarthy's, you know, job is the most stable thing of all time.
This is key, and he can take another job at another time. So the short list is now expanded to where Boise State just hired a new athletic director. So that helps them. And now that they're moving in that direction, they've already interviewed Montana State coach Jeff Choate and Oregon defensive coordinator Andy Avalos, also from that Oregon tree, of which we have Marcus Arroyo here. Mm-hmm. Avalos was also being kind of mentioned as a guy who could move into a Mountain West job, so he's on that list. But now Florida offensive coordinator, former Utah quarterback Brian Johnson, I totally forgot about him, but he's been with
I have no idea who he is.
He's been with Dan Mullen at Florida as the offensive coordinator there for the past three seasons. He's young too. He's 33.
Well, that's what most of us are looking for, is young upstarts with lots of energy and can connect with the kids.
Right. Offense. Yeah. And then USC offensive coordinator Graham Harrell, who was a former quarterback at Texas Tech, who literally, the guy would throw for like 500 yards a game, and Texas Tech would still be like 5-6.
That seems like a blue turf type of guy then. Yeah. Kind of circusy, you know?
It could be that way too. So he's with Clay Helton at USC right now.
Mm.
So, and USC had a pretty darn good season.
Well, it's the first time in a while.
Young guy too, 35. So
great number.
So Boise State, that's an open job right now. And that's what's moving down there. We do have breaking news here.
What?
On CBS Sports Radio 1140. It's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. UNLV men's basketball head coach T.J. Otzelberger has issued a statement regarding Zion Collins. who had committed to UNLV but was involved in a deadly crash back on December 30th. They have actually filed charges against Zayn Collins. That was today. They've charged him with reckless driving and a count of DUI resulting in death. This has just come out within the last half an hour or so. Zayn Collins will not be playing for UNLV. According to the statement, they have talked with the Collins family and have come to the decision, quote, that is in the best interest of everyone that Zayn focus on his other priorities and will not be joining our program. He was a very big recruit for UNLV, but now finds himself in some very big legal trouble right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is very significant news for UNLV.
Well, it seems like the logical course of action for both parties, don't you?
Yes. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no coloring in between the lines on this one.
Nope.
That's just what it is. So hopefully things will work out for Collins and his family and that situation, and UNLV will be moving on without him. All right, coming up next, we are going to do some hockeying, and yes, we will be talking about the most huggable Golden Knight.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140. Pew, pew,
pew, pew, pew. This is some old school. Pew, 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 pew,
pew. Hello.
Paul Iander and Lindsey Brown with you on this Thursday. I just was wondering when you were done doing the Michael Winslow bit from Police Academy.
Don't know what that means, but it's all right.
He did sound effects. African-American actor Michael Winslow, he did sound effects.
The title that you put forth.
The Michael Winslow thing from Police Academy.
I haven't seen Police Academy.
1, 2, 3, 4. No. They made like 8 of them.
Well, I've seen 0 of them.
They changed out Steve Guttenberg after 3, and they brought in Matt McCoy.
I know all of these people.
Janet Jones was in 5. You know Janet Jones.
Yes.
You do know Janet. Stop
probably.
It.
I don't know Stop that. It. We're I literally probably talking know about them by hockey. Like face.
We're literally talking about hockey right now. You
well,
don't know who
I don't
Janet
know.
Jones is?
I don't
it's Wayne
remember.
Gretzky's wife.
Oh, okay. Well, I know.
Paulina's mom.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't keep up with everybody's like extended family. Usually I just watch the sport part of it. But if you want to know everybody's family tree, that's fine.
Pew, pew.
I was more
what,
of like.
Wayne Gretzky. We know Wayne Gretzky.
I knew he married Janet. I know that Paul. I know she was an actor. I just didn't put 2 and 2 together.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I apologize. Did I get my hockey expert credential revoked?
No, because knowing the spouses of hockey players or legendary hockey players, like, who's Gordie Howe's wife?
Mrs. Howe.
There you go.
There we go.
See, I'm like,
oh my God.
You know?
I'm sure she's a great gal.
I'm like, but we all know Marc-Andre has, like, multiple children, right?
I mean, I think he has 3. Yeah.
Right.
He has 2 daughters and a son.
They just had, it was like a year ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Young kids. Lots of young kids on this team.
A budding flower.
I think during the bubble, they said that we had like the youngest, or we had the biggest collection of tiny humans.
Right.
So everybody's popping. Like, Pacioretty's wife had a kid around like 2 or 3 months ago. Like, Will Carrier. Nosik had a kid. Like, everybody's popping out puppies. Eric Howla came to dad over the week, or in the last couple of days.
Right. See, this is where I had given Fleury the pass when he was struggling because he was a new dad.
And he lost his dad.
And he lost his dad. Rough. I mean, but now is it chalking it up to, he's an older veteran in this league.
Yes.
And he's the same age. I believe him and Lundqvist are the same age, right?
Pretty damn close. I mean, I think Lundqvist is 35. Fleury's like 36-ish.
Right.
I mean, they're both, getting long in the tooth of the goaltending. And we've talked about how many miles are on Fleury's legs because he was one of those guys that was good enough not only to be drafted number 1 overall as a goaltender, which is insane, but to play right now.
Okay, so let's roll back the clock a little bit here, Time Machine. It is a throwback Thursday. And remember when they made the trade for Leonard in January of 2020? So it's
it was trade deadline.
February, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So it's only been a year since he joined this team where we were throwing our arms up in the air saying, how dare you make this deal to...
I wasn't throwing my arms up. I was like, yay, we get fortification up in here.
It was that way. And then we ran into the salary cap thing, and we started seeing Leonard play more in the playoffs, and we started seeing kind of the open door. And we all remember the wonderful velvet painting of Marc-Andre Fleury with a sword through the back.
Yeah, commissioned by his agent.
Right, but now does it feel like we're all cool with it for the sake of the fact that Marc-Andre, I think he understands it too.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of miles on the butterfly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's water under the bridge until we get back to the bridge that we crossed last year.
Okay.
Because, you know, time heals most wounds, not completely. It depends on the wound. But, you know, it's really hard as a goaltender to rationalize that you're getting taken out of your starting position. And I can't imagine what it's like for Marc-Andre Fleury at that, because it's not like he was having a poor season. He had poor stretches and he was giving up, you know, some tough goals and tough situations, but it wasn't like he was awful. He wasn't his best, but the team needed more. The team couldn't continue to ride his minutes and his legs in the way that they were because Malcolm Subban was not up to task. And so that's why you go get Leonard. And so to all of a sudden be kind of role reversaled in the middle of the season, one which that you also lost your father, and that all the stuff that's going on, you know, I can understand the hurt feelings are there. And as I said, as you kind of move away, well, it's a new season. We don't know what the goaltending situation is going to be. Once that answer reveals itself, and if it's not the one that they're wanting,
a week from
it's
now,
not going to go well. No. Because it's not just like night one starter. This is like when you start to see a pattern, a rhythm, as we start moving through those games, especially like in the opening weeks. And especially when we see, you know, Arizona for four straight, that's really going to be the test, at least the earliest test for me, on what this goaltending tandem is in Peter DeBoer's mind, or at least the Vegas Golden Knights coaching staff. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't 50-50. It's not. It wasn't last year. And they got close. And you don't go out and get Leonard and sign him the contract that you do to go 50-50. And I'm not saying that it's going to be Leonard the whole time. But I don't think it's going to be this kind of regular, like, tandem doesn't mean equal, but it doesn't. If this team wants to get where
$7 million not tandem situation.
Well, it is tandem because you can play either of them.
Tandem just means we have two.
Exactly.
So we have two.
But that's the thing, Paul, is that we assume that tandem means equal share. It does not. It just means that you maybe have pretty relatively close equal skill sets or value or just you're in the same atmosphere as one another. And Marc-Andre Fleury is in Leonard's atmosphere. It's just I don't know if he can access it to the level of consistency that this team needs. And they don't need him to do that anymore, because part of being on a team and part of starting this is accepting your role. And this is a role. Marc-Andre Fleury's had to accept tough truths before. You know, he's won cups that he was not in the crease for, and that's okay. You are still an extremely big part of it. But there's always that little thing in the back of your mind. And I know this because I was older. Some of my best friends were goalies that I competed with on a daily basis in my crease, and I wanted to freaking kill them every single day. And then when you go in the locker room, it's different. But that there's only one crease. And that's the same from when you're 5 years old, when you first strap on the pads, all the way up to 35 years old. And if there's only one person per crease, you want it to be you, right? And so the more it's not you, the less you feel like you. So you can kind of understand why paintings are commissioned or feelings are hurt. But it's just one of those things that you kind of have to accept. It might not be your forever role. But if you want to be part of this team and be fully flat and not have that distraction, because that was a distraction last year.
Sure it was.
If that happens again, not going to be well received.
But there were a lot of distractions last year from the goaltending, because they see the five guys in front of them, you know, being changed on a regular basis. And some of that has to do with defensive responsibility. And that has to be something that this team's going to have to focus on, because now you have a new defensive anchor in Pietrangelo and a few extra bodies that, you know, are going to have to get used to playing with each other. More than anything else, and develop some chemistry here literally in the next 7 days.
Yeah, and a lot of there's enough chemistry in that room to help carry, you know, whatever new addition and including Pietrangelo in. But I think when we look at Pietrangelo's addition to the roster, and especially when they were talking to Shea Theodore today about kind of getting to know Alex and how he envisions their partnership, and you know, people are talking about power play time, if they're going to be together, that's not why you bring Alex in. You don't bring Alex in to put him on the power play with Shea Theodore, which is totally an option. I'm going to tell you right now, it would probably work. But if you need a goal this second right now, put him out there. But in terms of a consistent kind of mindset, kind of one that we were talking about with the tandem goaltending, by bringing in Alex, just remember how much Shea Theodore was doing in the bubble. Like, offensively, he talked about the confidence that he felt and that mindset and how he wants to take that into the new season, because he was having a special little moment. He was scoring goals that we would say are beautiful goals for a forward. And he's showing hands like that as a defenseman. But when you're pushing like that all the time, and especially when your team isn't scoring, you become a little bit of a defensive liability because you're running your legs the whole time. You have to have a certain mindset, and you cannot do it all. By adding Alex to this lineup, you get to diversify your power play. You know, you can spot shift more than you ever could before, because like, what if Shea goes to the penalty box? What if he's out there for most of the power play and he's out there for a minute and a half? And guess what? The top guys are going to be back out in the next shift because they're just going back on to full strength. Well, don't worry, because Alex is going to go out there. We don't have to push our best guys nearly as hard because we brought in another Clydesdale, and that's Alex. And so there's going to be a really big feeling out kind of process, not just in training camp, but through these first few weeks, because people are learning new roles that were much bigger, you know, carried a lot more water on this team than in previous seasons that they're going to be asked to this year. And we're looking to hand off some responsibility to guys like Nick Waugh, you know, and that comes with some learning. And I think the Golden Knights are ripe for it. But if you have guys reacting like Marc-Andre Fleury did last year, that's the direct opposite of what you want. So I hope that they have addressed that. And address kind of like, this is what your role is right now. And having everybody kind of rationalize that, you know?
Interestingly enough, we're just a week away from not having speculative conversation, but having real conversation. Lizzie's going to give keys to the game on a game that is 7 days from now.
7 days,
yeah,
you say.
7 days.
To finally see those guys on the ice,
right?
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. Speaking of those guys, we started off the show with our kind of ode to Nate Schmidt, who is basically becoming a provincial favorite. I mean, he got to go. He's going home anyway, so he's home.
Yeah.
You know, Schmidt's back in Vancouver and with the Canucks.
Surrounded by fellow Minnesotans as well.
Right,
the homeland is strong.
They're loving him to death up there. But he was the so-called golden retriever of this team. If I wanted to scratch the belly of a Golden Knight, now that I've got to find myself a new fan favorite, and knowing that, you know, my allegiances to Marc-Andre Fleury are strong, but I'm not going
to... We have to diversify the portfolio.
We need to think about, hey, we are in our fourth year.
Yeah.
And we saw Schmidt go. And while Paul Stastny probably wasn't the warmest dude, I guess. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, he wasn't the guy that everyone's going to run up to and go, Paul Stastny, I want to give you a hug.
Yeah, super nice dude.
And expressive Mark Stone, while funny and meme, is... It's still Mark Stone,
yep.
And it's a dry wit.
Very monotone.
It's a dry wit with Mark.
And he's brilliant. He's hilarious.
And is it Leonard?
Is
it the guy who everybody calls the Panda? Is he the most huggable Golden Knight now?
I think as long as he's winning, I think in this fan base he is. Again, we talked about kind of, you know, rationalizing when Peter DeBoer was named head coach here and how you need to have success and you need to kind of get away from you're the Sharks coach. We don't like the Sharks. And it seemed for Leonard in terms of lots of people view him as Marc-Andre Fleury's replacement, because at some level he is.
It's not true.
Robin! Stick to the crease, sir. But I think he is definitely, he has one of those personalities that's quirky, and that's goalie 101. He plays his own. He is his own man. And what I really enjoy about him is that he's brutally honest. You know,
he does not.
If you're not familiar with his story, just Google it. The stuff that he's had to go through, and you know, if that doesn't endear you to him, I don't know what will. But it's, you know, Marshy's up there as long as he's happy and staying out of the penalty box. But I think where you have to look, if you're looking for somebody to like take under your wing, because these things have to like happen organically. You can't just name a leader. You can't just say it has to happen organically. Probably one of the young guys. And it's probably like Cody Glass. Krebs, I'm sure, is going to be a huge fan favorite.
Well, he'll be a baby face. That's
well, exactly. Because we love the baby faces. Because when they score, it seems, oh my God, we get this guy for forever. He's like 19. How many years? We're only in year 4. Oh my gosh, so much time, but it goes. But it will reveal itself to you. That's what hockey does. You will always gravitate towards what type of game, what type of player mindset that you identify with, or that you know kind of look up to.
I'm just going
to
say Zach Whitecloud. Just
could be.
No, I'm just
he's
putting
innocent
it,
enough.
I'm just putting it out there.
He's so innocent.
Yeah, I'm just putting it out there because he's probably listening right now going, he's probably, please say Zach.
Yes.
Please Zach. Say Zach.
Only if you bring us Cold Stone. That's it. Yeah. That's it. We will make t-shirts for you, Zach, if you bring us Cold Stone. And I like the birthday cake remix. That's my jam.
It's the remix. Coming up next, golf is back.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Thursday. Just a couple of things to clean up here. College football handing out its individual awards tonight. Mac Jones has won the O'Brien Trophy. The Alabama quarterback, who was also Heisman finalist, wins the best quarterback. The Heisman Trophy winner also won for best wide receiver, Devontae Smith. He gets the Biletnikoff Award.
Yes.
Tulsa linebacker Zaven Collins is the best defensive player in college football. Congrats to him. That's surprising. Tulsa. Yeah, that is solid news there. Bednarik Award for him. Alabama lineman Alex Leatherwood won the Outland Trophy. That's a big kid right there. Leatherwood's like 825 pounds.
Rounding down.
Yeah, he's a big dude. And Jose Borregales of Miami is the most outstanding kicker in college football. He gets the Lou Groza.
Hey, you want to be a Viking? Please.
We can please, use a little bit of help.
Please.
TikTok. As the PGA Golf Tour gets back underway today with the Century Tournament of Champions played at Kapalua on Maui.
Tough life, man.
That's a fantastic course.
Did Maui just get back from North Carolina just yes, in time?
Yes, they did. That's a gorgeous course. Oh my goodness.
I've heard it's quite scenic around the Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah, well, especially that course.
We'll have to confirm when I can.
When you get a chance to go rent clubs too. You don't even bring your own clubs. You can rent clubs when you're there.
No.
You can rent clubs. Just bring your own balls.
Those are my personal paintbrushes. I will bring them with me.
Okay.
I can't. I cannot play with different clubs because I need to give myself the best shot to play well.
Yeah, but you're playing in Hawaii. Does it matter?
I guess not.
I mean, doesn't really matter.
I don't know. I haven't kept score in golf in a very long time, so I guess it probably doesn't matter.
Sure, we could go play that Kiss mini golf.
That's true.
The Bryson DeChambeau rule goes into
which one
play today? This one is for excessive shot time.
Yeah, this is so necessary though.
He
how long does he take usually to hit his shot?
He apparently took 2 minutes to line up an 11-foot putt.
And you can watch the entire sequence on Twitter if you want. It's boring as hell.
It's pretty amazing. So basically, the PGA now is going to watch you.
Mm-hmm.
If you play slow, and then what they're going to do is start clocking your time. If you have more than 45 seconds or more per stroke,
mm-hmm.
they'll put you on a timer at that point.
What is Bryson going to do with his weather balloon that he sends up each and every shot?
Right.
And I get, like, that guy is the most analytical, like, down to the minute science of God. Like, that's how he got to the point of success that he is. He put on a ton of weight because he realized, hey, how can I hit the golf ball further and therefore cut down on strokes? This is what I do. But the guy is literally going through, like, Merriam-Webster to be like, which adjective would best describe the line that I'm seeing right now? Is the shadow, it's 3 o'clock or 7 o'clock? I'm not sure. And then we got to check the wind. It takes way too long, and it's terrible for the game. Do you remember my story about the state golf tournament, Paul?
Yes,
where this girl would take, I'm not joking, 5 minutes. She did not break 100, Paul.
Well, that would be called excessive shot time. Any player that takes more than 120 seconds, so 2 minutes to hit shots, you could be fined or penalized in terms of defining slow play. Now, the only pushback I'll give on this is that baseball put in pitch clocks.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the big improvement that baseball needed?
No.
Really?
Baseball.
Was to shave 5 seconds off the delivery of a relief pitcher who has to keep throwing over to first base, which, by the way, fans boo. If you boo a throw to first base, you're not a baseball fan. You're just following the sheep.
But this is the thing. Remember we talked a few weeks ago about when people try to look busy with busy work?
Sure.
Instead of actually changing.
No,
in general,
I got you.
What baseball does. Golf is actually a good product that's trying to improve itself. Whereas baseball's just like, oh, you're hemorrhaging? Here's a tiny Band-Aid. Have fun.
So the shot rule goes into place. There's a suggestion, too, as they move into the new year about combating distance. Because, again, this also has to do with Bryson, where he's hitting, 400-yard tee shots.
He's not the only guy that's hitting a really long ball, but he is the guy that is taking it to the extreme.
He's not. So what they're saying is that we don't have to revamp entire golf course.
We shouldn't. It'd be actually really environmentally unconscious.
You don't have to take all 18 holes and change the entire alignment.
No.
What you need to do is make three holes different. And
yeah.
Make those the score holes. You're going to, everyone's going to dominate the 15 holes.
I mean, yeah.
When you see, like, in a major, when you see, like, in the final round, you'll see a guy, like, on the 17th hole, it's always like, par, 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 birdie. Or
right.
Par, birdie, par, par. It's the same.
If you have a snowman on a par three, right. Something has gone awry.
Right. It's the same graphic they show for these same holes. They're like, okay, it's the most consistent hole in the course. What the suggestion is that they revamp a handful of holes to where maybe instead of cutting down the rough to, you know, a quarter of an inch, maybe now it's three quarters of an inch, to where you have just slight variables to where you'll actually have to think your way out
right.
of the shots.
Remove the tee box, like where your landing area, water there, and then the bunk. We'll put two more bunkers here, so you have to play it shorter because in all likelihood, you're going to end up in trouble.
So you're not going to have to spend 18 months on a full rehab where you call in Tiger or Tom Weisskopf or Jack or whatever it is.
Right.
You could, these courses to combat the tech, and that's what it is. It's the tech.
Yeah.
Just swap out a couple of, and swap out, a, just make a couple of variables, not put up windmills or giant fences or whatever it is.
Either this or wood clubs. Or change the ball. And we're not going to do that because guess what? It's not just about the pros. It's about everybody else because they push the industry. So I can shoot below 80 because otherwise without all the technological help, that's probably not in my wheelhouse. But now that it is, yeah, you have to keep that. I don't really know how you fix it. This is a good way, a good suggestion, but I'm just glad that Bryce is going to have to be like, all right, today, Junior, today, sir.
We're waiting.
Yeah, we are waiting.
Zach's coming up next, and we do have college hoops tonight, Nevada and San Diego State. 7 o'clock tip. For Mark, she's Lindsay, I'm Paul. That's a wrap on the Playmakers for a Thursday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.